Welcome all you sinners and sodomites to episode 28 of Bible Stories for Atheists. I'm Josh.
I'm Linz.
And we are your guides to the magically malicious stories, literally, literarily littering the Bible.
You know, leprechaun?
Yeah, magically malicious.
Jesus charms, they're magically malicious.
It's the end of the Gospels.
The end of Jesus.
It's the end of Jesus. Well, of Jesus. For the most part, like he pops in,
and like people refer to him, or like literally he pops in.
So in Acts, at the beginning of Acts, we get yet another story of him ascending to heaven.
Okay.
So he pops in there, and I think he pops in the Revelation.
Oh, of course, the book that hasn't really happened yet.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the whole...
It talks about the end times.
Yeah. He comes back.
Right. Yeah. At some point, we'll get into that. That's going to be a heavy research.
We watched The Seventh Sign with Demi Moore.
Right. Yeah.
The full research.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to do.
What was the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger? It came out in 1999. End of Days.
Oh. Was that about that was about Revelations?
I think so, yeah.
I see.
It was like, you have to love a good Catholic horror movie.
Is that the one that he takes a shower with his kid?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
There's some movie where that he's in where, like, at the very beginning, he's taking a shower and he bathes with his child, which is not abnormal, but it is weird to see Arnold Schwarzenegger just holding the kid.
It's a weird thing to see in a movie. Like, why put that into a movie?
I know.
Really?
I know.
And especially one that's Catholic. So, yeah, that's awkward. Yeah. Yeah, look, Catholics make great horror movies.
They do. It is terrifying.
Because their beliefs are fucking terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you can't bring people to something altruistically, why not use fear?
Can't use love, use fear.
Yep. Just like Homelander.
Yeah. We're covering the burial and resurrection of Jesus in this.
And in some circumstances, an ascension.
Yeah.
But not all.
Not all of them.
Which leads me to ask the question, like, what is he doing if he didn't ascend?
Right. Widely different accounts of what happens.
As has been the case.
For all of these. For
all of the Gospels.
Yeah. Strap in, strap on for episode 28. Holy Jesus, Batman.
Dick is too close to my face.
The dick.
There we go. That's better. I think it sounds better too.
You want to hear something really fucking weird?
Sure.
All right, go ahead. All right, Dutch, lead us.
So we'll read it together, okay? As a patriot of faith, I attest my allegiance first and foremost to the kingdom of God and the Great Commission. Secondly, I agree to be a watchman over our nation, concerning its people and their rights for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Whereas we, the church, are God's governing body on the earth. Whereas we have been given legal power from heaven and now exercise our authority. Whereas we are God's ambassadors and spokespeople over the earth. Whereas through the power of God, we are the world influencers. Whereas because of our covenant with God, we are equipped and delegated by Him to destroy every attempted advance of the enemy.
And this goes on.
What was that from?
So this is from like a convention of Christians.
Okay.
Called Flashpoint. This was in Georgia on July 1st. So it was like leading into the 4th of July.
Sure.
That they were doing this. It's a whole fucking arena of people chanting this Nazi chant.
Yeah.
All together. So that was just a few of them. So that was, we the church are God's governing body over the earth, their governing body, apparently. They've been given legal power from heaven and now exercise our authority.
Wait. Yeah. God doesn't provide legal power.
No, he doesn't.
That's not a thing.
Nope.
Like if they were like, I don't know, religious doctrine, like we have power over, you know, we are here to
our religion,
exercise religious doctrine.
Right.
That's not legal power. God doesn't give legal. What the? What?
I know. Oh, believe me, I know. Yeah. And so this video goes on for like 4 minutes while they're doing this. So the big ones there were, you know, that they want to destroy every attempted advance by the enemy, which how the fuck are you defining that?
Yeah. Who's the enemy?
Yeah. And who's deciding who the enemy is?
Right.
We decree that America's executive branch of government will honor God and defend the Constitution. Apparently not the First Amendment, though. We decree that the legislative branch will write only laws that are righteous and constitutional. We decree the judicial branch will issue rulings that are biblical and constitutional.
Ew.
Which are just juxtaposed. Like,
right.
it's a contradiction. You can't do that. We declare that we stand against wokeness, the occult, and every evil attempt against our nation.
Wokeness?
Yeah.
All right. Like, okay, come on. I agree that the term wokeness has, like, reached its apex and is a joke right now. I mean, it's become a buzzword, but the intent behind it is that, like, I realize that there are other people in this world who are different than me, but they deserve the basic rights of all people.
And they're not getting it.
Right. And therefore, I think things should change so that everybody in this world is afforded equal rights and opportunities.
Right.
And that is being woke because you've awakened to the idea. And generally, white people are the ones who are woke, right? Because white people have awakened to the idea
right.
that their basis of life is privileged. Now, obviously, there's a shit ton of arguments out there that are like, oh, but I grew up poor. How am I privileged? Well, listen, fuckers. If you walk down the street,
yeah,
unsolicited, unprovoked, without people giving you a second glance, that is privilege.
Right.
Like
try living your life as a poor black person
right,
instead. And
right.
you're gonna yeah. have a very different experience.
It's like, I mean, just because you're poor or circumstances haven't worked out for you didn't mean you didn't get some sort of head start. Just shit happened. Shit right. happens to everybody. Some people are starting further back than that.
Though. Right.
What a ridiculous fucking like I can't. It just sounds so like mind-washy.
It's super mind-washy.
And like these people are, cause I bet you that there are people who are saying that out of their mouths during that who actually don't agree with all of it.
Not if they actually thought it through.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Or even in that moment, they're probably in their heads going like, what the fuck? This
is yeah.
crazy. But because of the, you know, all, first of all, I would imagine like the fear of being in a place like that and not necessarily agreeing 100% with
right.
what everyone else is saying is probably a bit scary
mm-hmm.
because we all know that those particular types of people, those very hardcore Christians, are not the best people.
Right.
Which is terrible because they should be if they're that religious. They should yeah, be the best people.
But they're obviously not like an inclusive group.
Right.
As this calls out.
If people in your own group are scared of you, yeah. you are not doing your job.
Right.
As a Christian.
Right.
Because that's not, and I mean, I guess unless you're full upfront and like we Christians, believe in the God fear, like the,
yeah.
the fucking hellfire raining punishment down sort of biblical Old Testament God,
right.
then fine.
Which they kind of are. And we'll get to that actually in this. In this episode, we're talking about the last parts of the gospel. We've gotten through everything Jesus had
right.
to teach.
And nothing.
Nothing about that. It. Yeah.
Some of it is actually like directly opposed to things that he said.
Right.
You've been to a thing like this.
I have. Yeah.
And was it like that?
Well, I've been to
It was
It was a youth one. And I don't like this. What stands out about this is just how political it was.
Right.
Which was not as much of a thing when I was younger, especially I think with the youth group ones. But, you know, it's certainly not to say like there wasn't any political shit involved in this stuff.
And,
but
You know, like technically, because they're not a church, they're not there representing like a church.
Single church, yeah.
It's perfectly allowed, right?
Sort of, because it's still a nonprofit. My understanding of it, you can't promote a certain candidate or political cause.
Right.
Right.
That they're inherently generic about what they're saying kind of gets them through. And also, I know that they do look more strictly at actual churches than, like, say, religious groups.
Right. So there's some more of these. We declare that we now take back our God-given freedoms according to the Constitution. We declare that we take back influence at the local level in our communities. Yeah. We decree that we take back and permanently control positions of influence and leadership in each of the seven mountains. Which is a new term that I hadn't heard of before, but I can go into that. We decree that the blood of Jesus covers and protects our nation. It's a blood cult, right? You know, it protects and separates us for God. We declare that our nation is energy independent.
It's not.
I know, but they declared it, though.
It never will be.
They declared it, though. It's just this weird thing where it's like you have an energy policy just built into this. Like everything else is like,
well, it
has nothing to do with God.
It's a part of hyper-nationalism, right? Yeah. They want all of the oil sucked out of the ground in the United States.
Yeah.
They want to destroy our beautiful natural environment so that we don't have to buy oil from anywhere else.
Right.
That's what they want. They don't want solar power. They don't want wind energy. They literally just want us to like drain our resources dry.
Right.
So they're not, they're just.
I know it's just a blatantly political thing in there. We declare that America is strong spiritually, financially, militarily, and technologically.
Mm-hmm.
We decree that evil carries no power, authority, or rights in our land, nor over our people. Again, who's defining evil?
Right.
We decree that we operate in unity, going beyond denominational lines in order to accomplish the purposes of God for our nation.
And by denominational lines, they mean Christian denominations.
Right.
They're not like, hey, Muslims and Jewish people, come get in line with us.
Right.
They're just like all Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a shitload of Christians out there who don't believe in any of this bullshit too, you know?
And so, I would say that like, there's a lot of Christians who don't believe in that.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Probably more than who do. It's just they are at home just chilling.
Right.
They're not walking around in conventions being like, we don't believe in any of that other bullshit that other Christian group believes in.
Right. Yeah. We decree that America shall be saved. We know this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. We know the truth, therefore we stand for truth and will never be deceived.
Okay. Already. Yeah. I've been deceived.
We will never stop fighting. We will never, ever, ever give up or give in. We will take our country back.
From?
Yeah.
Who has it?
Right. We will honor the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. America shall be saved.
Wow, I like that. Do you like that?
This is from gotquestions.org.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, it's your got questions. Your questions, biblical answers. So the Seven Mountain Mandate or the Seven Mountain Prophecy is a strategy for evangelizing the modern world and enlarging Christ's kingdom. It has especially gained the following in charismatic and Pentecostal churches. Those who follow the Seven Mountain Mandate believe that the best way for the church to be effective is to bring change in the seven major spheres of influence in society: education, religion, family, business, government and military, arts and entertainment, and media. I don't know how they separate out media from arts and entertainment.
Fake news.
I guess. Yeah, probably. These seven sectors of society are thought to mold the way everyone thinks and behaves. So to tackle societal change, these seven mountains, quote unquote, must be transformed. Those who follow the Seven Mountain Mandate speak of occupying the mountains, invading the culture, and transforming or taking back society. And then it goes into detail about like what people say gives them biblical standing for this stuff, but you can look that up if you want.
It sounds very Christ-like.
Yeah.
What a bunch of bullshit.
I know.
Again, it goes back to like, this is what these people want.
Right.
I'm going to do a call out here of a local business here in our fine city. It's a wedding venue and it just opened. It's in a former church. It's run by some very Christian people with some very Christian ideas, which is that gay people shouldn't be allowed to get married. So they don't allow same-sex couples to get married at their venue. It's against the ordinance of our city, first of all. You're not allowed to discriminate based on that. It's also my understanding that they're not the ones who are supposed to be making those judgments.
Right. Yeah. Judgment is for God alone.
Right. We haven't gotten into it yet, but where in the Bible does it call out like same-sex marriage is not right?
Oh, there's like two verses in the entire Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both of them were in the Old Testament that talked about it.
You mean the same Old Testament where men married like their relatives and also multiple wives?
Yep. And where God ordered to have all the Israelites kill their enemies, women and children, right, and their livestock.
Yeah. The same Old Testament where if men couldn't get their wives pregnant, they just fucked their slaves.
Right.
And then called those their heirs.
Yeah.
Old Testament?
It's the same Old Testament where like, I think either a chapter before or a chapter after where it says that you should stone to death men who lay with other men, that you should also stone to death children who are disobedient.
Oh, yep.
It also says it's against the law to wear blended fabric.
Blended fabric, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. So if you're wearing a poly cotton shirt and you're a Christian, then
right, it's
time to start looking out for stones.
Yeah, that same Old Testament that where a small family convinced an entire town to cut off the skin of their penises.
Yeah, just to kill them.
And then murdered them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Okay. Well, yep, that seems like a good basis for your core beliefs.
Yep.
Is that particular part of the book?
So this whole thing was put on by Victory Channel, which is a nonprofit free-to-air television network made possible by Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Kenneth Copeland was the guy who was stopped by a reporter when he was leaving his private plane a few years back. And the reporter was asking him, like, how do you justify having a private plane when the Bible says you should live in poverty? They specifically call out the, you know, it's easier for a rich man to travel, or it's easier
he's
for a camel
rich,
to go
though,
through.
Josh.
He is very rich.
But he's not rich.
Yeah. I bet his personal worth is pretty good, though,
right,
too.
Right. But
yeah,
Josh, he's not rich.
No,
the nonprofit is rich.
Yeah.
Nonprofit.
Right.
I'm just going to hit hard on that word, nonprofit.
Right.
Assigning all of the extra money that you make to the dude that's running it is such a bullshit way to be a nonprofit.
Yeah. Looking into this, I found some interesting stuff about it because apparently, first of all, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, according to Wikipedia, they have two private planes. One is for like domestic travel. One is for international travel. And there's a board that's in control of all this stuff, all the assets and everything. Yep. But it's not publicly known who the members of this board are.
Oh.
It's only privately known to the IRS, which is interesting.
Wait a minute. What? Okay, wait. That doesn't seem right.
Doesn't seem right, does it? No.
Why isn't it published publicly?
I don't know. This is just stuff that I saw on the Wikipedia page for this.
That seems not right.
It doesn't
seem
right.
Listen, you and I are both on a board, and I won't say which one it is.
Yeah.
But that, like, if you look it up on the IRS website, our names are there. Right. That stuff has to be reported when you file your taxes as a nonprofit. It is on your tax return.
I wonder if it's different for religious nonprofits, though, because ours is not a religious nonprofit.
We're still all 501c3s, though.
You would know this better than I would. So it'd be interesting to dive into this at some point, like the legality behind
some of
these.
I would love to get into that, and maybe I'll actually be able to provide some actual knowledge for this as opposed to you, because
I can be like, wait, what?
The whole point of it being a nonprofit and having a board is that that stuff is public knowledge.
Right.
As a donor.
A donor would want to know.
To a nonprofit, you have the legal right to know who's handling your donation. So the fact that the IRS is like maybe keeping this stuff private just seems real crazy to me.
Yeah. Makes you wonder how many other religious organizations get that protection.
Yeah. Because when you file to be a 501c3, you do have to qualify like what type of organization you are. Theirs would qualify under religious. So maybe there is something that says that this stuff doesn't need to be published, but why? I mean, that's obviously a law that was written a really long time ago, and that can be changed. And you know what? IRS rules can be changed without having to go through like all kinds of crazy shit with Congress. Like the IRS can change their rules.
Atheists shouldn't have to pay taxes.
Right? Not at all. If you are not part of a religion, you should not have to pay taxes.
How many Christians would all of a sudden abandon Christ?
A lot of them. So many.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm registered atheist, but I actually do believe.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just doing it for the tax break.
Just doing the tax break. I mean, I'm totally like, you know, not being brave or honest, but
he'll forgive me.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing.
I asked for forgiveness and I got it. So therefore it's fine. You know, Adam Kinzinger, that GOP representative, the one that's like on the January 6th committee.
And
he came out against that and was like, this is insane. You know, it's totally calling for another insurrection and stuff.
Right.
You know?
They're calling for a religious war.
Yeah.
And we said this in the last podcast, that the war based on religion starts in the United States. It's not you or I or Muslims or Jewish people or anybody else except the Christians starting it.
So all that said, previously on BSFA, we had the trial, the crucifixion, and the death. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
On the last episode.
Yep.
So first up for us today, the burial of Jesus.
In the cave.
In the cave, yeah.
Is it a cave or is it a tomb?
It's so a like tomb. But it's cut into rock. So it's like a man-made cave.
Gotcha.
So this is Mark 15, 42 through 47, Luke 23, 50 through 56. Yes, sorry, yes. Something in my sinuses is going on.
Is there like a party in there? Yeah. Or?
Something was trying to escape down my throat.
Well, don't let that happen. That sounds bad. Yeah.
It was Mark 15, 42 through 47, Luke 23, 50 through 56, Matthew 27, 57 through 66, and John 19, 38 through 42. Mark's version goes like this. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, which I think is a reference to the Sanhedrin, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, so he's a believer, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead, which is interesting because in John's version in the last episode, Pontius Pilate was approached by the chief priests and all them and asked to have the bodies removed. So they broke everybody's legs.
Right. Remember that? Except for Jesus's.
Because he was already dead.
Yep.
So it's just an interesting contradiction here.
Sure.
Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
Mary, the mother of...
I think it's Jesus' mom, I'm pretty sure, because Jesus apparently had a brother named Joseph, you know.
Hey.
I don't know why they keep calling her Jesus, mother of Joseph, as if that's a prominent person, but...
Right. I just maybe assume, because doesn't Jesus mean something?
If ever a name was packed with significance, it is the name of Jesus. Scripture says Jesus was given the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I just need
means
to know
Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation.
Okay.
Luke's version is basically the same, but at the end of it, we get this. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how the body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. And then John's version later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds.
Wow.
That's a lot of myrrh and aloes.
Well, you got to hide the smell of a rotting body.
Yeah.
Wait.
So Nicodemus
visited Jesus at night?
Yeah.
They cover that in the... did we talk about that?
Yeah. So this was in John 3.
I've already put it out of my brain.
It was a quick thing. So Nicodemus is a character that only appears in John. It was in John chapter 3. He's a Pharisee who comes to believe in Jesus, right? And they talked this one night about being reborn in the spirit. Mm. And this is where we get being born again.
Oh,
and you might remember that.
We had a whole conversation about born again.
Yeah. Yes, we did. Also, from this conversation, we get John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And on that day, I washed my asshole.
Go football.
Yeah. Go football. So see episode 13 for that.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So he visited Jesus at night while he was on the cross? Or just in general at night?
No, this the John 3 thing where they're having that whole conversation, that was at night that one time.
Oh, okay.
So it's a callback to earlier in the book.
I see. I thought, I'm just picturing him talking to Jesus on the cross. Yeah. Jesus is literally like, I don't know, nailed to a fucking cross. And Nicodemus is like,
can you explain to me being reborn?
Jesus is like, oh, well, I guess I got nothing better to do.
Can you put something on my junk so I'm not naked up here? Yeah, sure, sure. But
women
about
keep
being
coming
reborn,
and masturbating directly in front of me.
Oh my God. At first it was cool, but now I'm kind of like,
it's
a little weird.
Gross.
So Nicodemus brings all this stuff.
Sure.
Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in the strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Matthew's version is pretty similar. It tells us that Joseph was a rich man, which is kind of an obvious thing with the linen and already having a tomb ready to go. One thing I thought was kind of funny was verse 61. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb.
I'm just picturing a world where Mary was still around when this book came out. Yeah. She's like, the fucking other Mary. I pushed that fucking holy bastard out of my goddamn vagina.
It's not the only time they say this either. She just kind of becomes the other Mary for a while.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Then the writer of Matthew just throws in this extra piece that none of the other gospels have. The next day, the one after the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples will come and steal the body and tell people that he was raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take it, guard, Pilate answered. Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on it, on the stone, and posting the guard. Matthew seems to be, with the rest of his book, really trying to button up these like conspiracy theories against Jesus rising from the dead. So yeah, that's the burial.
Okay, so he's in a tomb. He's in a hole in a rock with a rock in front of it, which I always envisioned being this giant boulder, but probably just this big rock that covers the maybe even flat sort of that you can just lean against the.
I feel like that's how it's normally depicted in like cartoons and stuff, or in the movies. It's this round stone.
What would be helpful is like how many people had to move the rock. That way we would know how big it is and how strong. Like, actually, no, Jesus doesn't open the tomb himself, does he? Somebody else opens it.
No. No, yeah. He's never like pushing it.
That would be even more badass though if he was just like,
yeah,
just rock goes shooting across the fucking field.
Takes out a few people.
Yeah, man, that's the resurrection story we all need.
Right. So this next story is called Jesus Makes Like a Non-Kosher Loaf and Rises.
Oh God, that was terrible.
You liked it though.
So bad.
Yeah. And this is where we just start wrapping up the books.
Okay.
This is Mark 16. It's a short chapter, but it's even shorter for some people, and we'll get into that. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, who again, I think is, I don't know why, but she keeps switching being her, the mother of one of Jesus' siblings.
Well, you know, as a mom, it is your whole identity just to be the mom of a... I'm Lindsay, the mother of Connor.
Right. So when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, a new character we have not heard of.
Is it Salome or Salome?
It's S-A-L-O-M-E. So you could pronounce it Salome, I guess. Bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body very early on the first day of the week. So that's Sunday, just after sunrise. They were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? So I guess they got all the way there, and then they were like, wait a second.
We're women. Yeah. We can't move rocks.
But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered.
Yeah, of course.
The women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. So how do we know this story? Right.
Well, it's divine intervention. I don't know if this is the same person. But
no,
Salome,
no way would we know.
Salome is the daughter of Herod II and Herodias, granddaughter of Herod the Great and stepdaughter of Herod Antipas. Mm. And is known from the New Testament, where she is not named. And from an account by Flavius Josephus, in the New Testament, the stepdaughter of Herod Antipas demands and receives the head of John the Baptist.
Yeah.
So is this the same Salome?
Probably not. Who knows? This is the only place where she's mentioned.
Right.
So then we get to Mark 16, 9 through 20. So these verses are not in the oldest manuscripts of the Gospel of Mark, which are the Codex Sinaiticus and the Codex Vaticanus. They put the anus in Vaticanus. But they appear in later manuscripts, which apparently King James used in his translation. So why isn't it thrown out? Because a bunch of people don't care if it's not real. They are just going to keep believing in it no matter what. Mm. So they keep printing this, but it's like called out in the NIV is like, hey, this isn't in the oldest manuscripts and, you know, but here you go.
Right.
You know? And it's in italics and it's just kind of called out like that. This is what it says. And it's, again, this comes right after the women run off.
Because they're scared because Jesus has risen.
Yeah, there's some creepy little boy. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. So So again, this is Sunday morning, apparently, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. So for some reason, he has showed up in some other form and they must have recognized him. So there was what was the point of the other form, right? Anyway, later Jesus appeared to the 11. So this is the 11 disciples that are still remaining, minus Judas. He rebuked them for their lack of faith. So they all snapped and betrayed him again and had him re-crucified. So he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Yes, how dare they not believe these highly credible stories with no evidence? He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." So apparently you need to be baptized in order to be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well.
Oh, man.
Yeah. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. I wonder when those signs stopped. How many people do you think have died because of that snakes and poison line?
But obviously we all know of the
dancing with snakes.
Yeah. Well, Christians. The people who speak in tongues and the people, the snake handlers, the faith healers. But it's not just we know it in the United States. It tends to be a very Southern thing, but it happens throughout the country. But it's actually really prominent in Africa as well. So these African cultures that were switched to Christianity through missionary work. And I'm talking forever ago, not recent missionary work. We're talking way back in the day when either it was they were being kidnapped for slavery or forced into Christianity. That part of the Bible is something that remains in a lot of those cultures where they do those sort of things as feats of holiness. Right. Handle the snakes, drink poison, speak in tongues and stuff like that. And it really just kind of goes to show you that yes, they've removed it from some Bibles or they
call out that it's not
italicized. It's not part of the original text. But when you get into these back, I hate to use this word, but these backwater cultures, it remains because they haven't been sent the new material.
Right.
And even in the southern spheres, though, where you could kind of say that, well, if they wanted to, they could have access to that.
The information is out there.
Right.
This isn't real.
But those sort of medicine man shenanigans. Yeah. make a lot of money here for them. In places like Africa and South America and stuff like that, I really do think it's just a strongly held belief still. But here it's definitely if they see me heal somebody, which we have saw time and time again is proven to be bullshit, magic, right?
Yeah.
They have somebody who's in on it. Even though they're traveling around in these tents set up in the middle of fields with boxes of snakes that have all been devenomized.
It's easy for God to work miracles like that when devenomize the snakes.
Yep.
What's interesting too about this is it completely ignores the fact that right before this section, that creepy little boy told them that Jesus will see them in Galilee, not right there in Jerusalem.
Right.
And that is the gospel of Mark.
That ends it. So creepy child tells the ladies Jesus is risen. So they open the temple. They open the vault.
The tomb.
The tomb. Thank
you. They didn't open it. It was opened.
They're there to put herbs and spices around so that it's not smelly.
Right.
Right. But it's open and he's gone. And that's when the creepy little boy
shows up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid.
But then subsequently, a whole separate story also takes place where Jesus sees them.
Yeah. So then after that.
This is in the same story. This isn't like the books being contradictory to each other. This is all in the same book.
This is in Mark. Yeah. But that's the section that was added later.
Ah. And nobody knows who added it.
I mean, you could probably do some digging into it, and there's probably some information about that. I feel like there probably is, but I didn't do any digging into who it was. But like I said, the NIV itself will call out that this is not in the original.
So at what point did it actually end, if you take out the part?
It's when the women were terrified and
that's where it
running
ends?
Away, and they said that they didn't tell anybody about this.
That's where the book
that's
ends.
Where it ends.
Well, no wonder they added.
It just says, like, go find Jesus in Galilee, you know, and then that's it. And then there's no, like, them actually going to find Jesus in Galilee.
Well, or even, like, having, like, the Jesus appeared and then rose to heaven sort of finale
the ascension.
Of the story.
Yeah.
It just ends with women being terrified.
And running away. Yeah, and not telling
anybody. I can understand where somebody along the way was like, well, this needs more.
You're right.
There's no ending to this story.
What's interesting to me, I kind of wonder if the actual ending to it was different and it was removed at some point.
Right.
You know, because you're right. It's a shitty ending.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It actually makes it sound like Jesus literally is coming back and staying back or something.
Right.
But anyway, it's a weird thing. Yeah. And again, Mark is the first of the four that were written. So the other two don't really just leave it hanging like that, or the other three.
Okay.
Matthew 28 goes like this. It's Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid. Again, this is the only one that has guards there. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There they will see him. Now I have told you."
It literally makes it sound like God was up in heaven and was like, "Can somebody go tell these bitches what happened? You over there, go down there. Put on some clothes first. I know you're a giant spinning wheel.
Can I put on my lightning outfit?
Wear whatever the fuck you want. It's fine. I don't care. Just go down and tell them. Literally, that's all I need you to do today. Just go down there and tell those bitches what happened, because if not, they're just going to hang out all day and I don't really want to deal with it."
No problem. I'll tell them.
Cool. Thanks.
Do not be afraid.
That's how they start every fucking sentence that they've ever spoken to any human is do not be afraid, which again, like, makes you realize that they don't just look like gorgeous humans.
Right. Yeah.
Fucking wings.
Yeah.
But also, like, it says that they're wearing clothes, which from what we know about what angels supposedly look like based on previous books of the Bible, like, how is it wearing clothes?
Right. Yeah. Well, there's different versions of angels.
Okay.
You know. So the women hurry away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy.
Oh, that ever elusive joy fear.
Yeah. You know, as a woman, all those times where you're afraid with joy.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I often do feel those feelings simultaneously.
Yeah. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them.
Oh.
Greetings, he said.
Greetings.
They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So literally, what was the point of the fucking angel?
Right.
So this is what bugs me.
Well, really bugs me. But listen, again, yeah. That was God sending somebody to tell them. And Jesus, maybe
who is also supposed to be God.
But maybe, you know, maybe the death kind of disconnected him for a second. Right. Who knows?
Didn't have a signal.
Yeah. And so he's just like wandering around, I don't know, covered in either his death linens or naked.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't say.
And it's just like, oh, hey, ladies, like, can you go tell these guys what's going on?
Yeah.
Tell them I'll meet them. You know, at Lloyd's place in Galilee. At Lloyd's place.
So this is what bugs me about this. Like if the goal was for no one to think that the body was stolen, right, and that he actually rose from the dead, then the angel should not have shown up at all because the tomb was sealed.
Mm-hmm.
The guards were fine. And apparently Jesus was already gone,
mm-hmm.
you know? So if the angel hadn't shown up, broken the seal by rolling away the stone and terrifying the guards to the point where they were like dead men, not actually dead as we'll see, but like dead men, then there would be no indication that he was stolen, right? He would just literally be gone from the tomb.
Yeah. So or just in there hanging out.
Well, he was already gone though.
I know, but how much better of a story would it be if the angel was there?
Yeah.
Like he rose and was just in the tomb still and was just like, hello. I'm not dead yet.
I thought somebody was supposed to roll this way.
I told everyone I was going to come back to life in 3 days.
The guards outside are like, shut up in there.
And then the angel rolls up and is like, assholes, open the fucking door. And opens the door. And then Jesus wanders out.
Yeah.
And the angel sits on the rock and waits for the women.
Right. But see, in this version, there's no reason to roll away the stone at all besides to show people that he's not in there anymore. Right. Then the guards go into the city and tell the chief priests what happened. The chief priests give them a bunch of money and tell them, you are to say that his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If the report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
That's in the Bible?
Yeah.
That says that?
Yeah. To this very day, it's been widely circulated that his people stole his body, basically.
Wow. Okay.
Again, this is Matthew trying to button up these. Right.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Put yourself in the place of one of these guards. You know the dude's dead.
Yeah.
You saw it happen or... You know, you've been there the whole time, I assume. Like, you saw him die. Like, verifiably dead. They put him in the thing. An angel comes and unseals it and says he's not there anymore. And then you go and you tell the peeps, hey, man, Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. He's not there. He rose from the dead. Also, I met an angel, which was scary and cool. And I almost died, but I didn't. And then the
priest... Definitely peed myself.
The priest is like, here's a lot of money. Don't say that story. Say this story.
Yeah.
Would you really be able to take the money and be like, yeah, I won't tell anybody?
Right. Like, it doesn't make any sense because at that point, you know that not only does God exist, he's obviously like on this guy's side and everything. And
right.
So Jesus is legit. And so, yeah, why would you?
Right. But it even at the end of the day, like, could you not, even if you took the money?
Yeah.
Would you? There's no way you can just keep that story to your fucking self.
No. And a lot of Christians would say, obviously they didn't because
it's in the Bible.
Matthew knows about it. So obviously somehow, although the women knew about it and they told. So
I don't know. I don't think that there's enough money in the world to like get me not to tell that story to somebody.
Yeah. I mean, like if I was one of the soldiers, I'd be like thinking through the 15 people I told on the way there.
Right. You're like, do I have to go back and kill them now?
Sure, I won't tell anybody
else
from here on out.
Like, it's just crazy. It's crazy. there literally there is way more mundane shit that has happened to me on a day-to-day basis that I'm like, I can't wait to tell somebody about this.
Yeah.
And none of it is somebody coming back to life.
Yeah.
And also seeing an angel.
Right.
Fuck, man. Stormy Daniels took a shit ton of money to not tell anybody that she had sex with the president of the United States of America. And yeah. She did that anyway. So like,
right. That wasn't even enough for her to actually be quiet about
right.
it.
Right.
So then we get the Great Commission, which was referenced in the creepy oath okay. we talked about earlier. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then that's it. No ascending to heaven. So therefore, I just assume he just stayed there on that mountain and never said anything ever again. And that's the gospel of Matthew.
Okay.
A lot of people consider that to be Jesus' final commandment to the Christians.
And what was it specifically again?
To go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
I see. Missionary work.
Yeah.
Again.
Evangelizing and all that stuff. Yeah. Ugh. So Luke 24, Sunday morning, the women take...
Just spices. Keeps getting like less and less descriptive about the females involved in this
I know.
Story.
Yeah. But remember, Jesus was pro-woman.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, the women take spices to the tomb. The stone was rolled away when they got there and the body was gone. While they were wondering, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. So then they go to the apostles and tell them what they saw, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense.
They must have been hysterical.
Yeah. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Later that day, a couple of the disciples are walking to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They're talking to each other about everything going on. So this is in the fake Mark ending where he talked about like two of them walking through the country, seeing him in a different form. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a more detailed version of that. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with him, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, which is difficult while walking, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. And then they literally recap everything from who Jesus was to the death to everything up to that morning.
Wow.
So I'm sparing you that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How long is that recap?
It was like a paragraph.
Oh, so. They do the cliff notes.
Yeah. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, stay with us. For it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
So Jesus is a ghost.
It totally seems like that with this, because he can just disappear.
Yeah.
And shit, right? Like, yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's weird. It gets weird once he's risen. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you."
Ah!
"And with you," they responded.
No. If Jesus just popped up in their fucking group and was like, "Peace be with you," everyone's reaction is, "Ah."
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yep. That's me.
So this is obviously like where the Catholic thing of peace be with you comes from.
Yes. Yeah. So that is not something that you never said that in church.
I don't think it ever came up in church, but it's like an every mass type of thing.
Yeah.
In Catholics. Yeah,
sure.
In Catholics.
In Catholics. Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
In Catholicism.
In Catholicism, yes.
They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." See? And he opens his hand and shows them bones. No, not exactly, but...
Does he still have the...
He still has the holes in his hands. Hands and his feet.
Wrists?
Well, it doesn't... He says hands and feet. Yeah. There's the wound in his side as well from the spear of destiny.
Just rolling around with all those wounds.
Yeah.
All those open wounds.
Actually, this is kind of interesting. So the spear of destiny only showed up, I think, in John. I think that was the only one where they stabbed him in the side. And I don't think they actually reference that wound... except for in that gospel. Here he's talking about, shows them hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?"
Okay, there's so many things wrong with that sentence.
I know.
They didn't believe he was Jesus because of joy that Jesus was back.
Yeah.
And amazement that he was back.
I guess.
So they were so overcome with joy and amazement that they were like, "This can't be true. It's have too much joy."
Yeah.
And then Jesus was like, "Hey, man, you guys got some food?"
Yeah. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and he took it and ate it in their presence.
Broiled?
So broiled fish.
They broiled fish back then?
I guess so. Yeah.
All right.
He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now, remember, this is Luke, and Luke wrote the book of Acts.
Okay.
So this is setting up the sequel in the franchise, right? When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven.
Okay.
Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Luckily, none of them had any work that needed to get done. And I will say this, Luke does give a slightly different version of this at the beginning of the book of Acts.
Oh, really?
We'll cover that at some point. Yeah.
Interesting. So he opens their minds to the prophecies or whatever the fuck. He opens their mind up
to scripture. I kind of think this is...
Isn't this the scripture?
My mom has said this before, that the Holy Spirit's purpose is to give us understanding as you read the scripture, what it means, you know? Mm-hmm. And Jesus kind of talked about that in John when we went through all those chapters during the he was praying in Gethsemane. there's all those chapters where it's just one after another after yep. another, where he's going through what the Holy Spirit means. He's kind of talking about it there too. I think this is like him opening up their minds to it. But then the book of Acts kind of gets into that too.
But also, like, what have they been doing the whole time then?
I don't know. I mean, they're very stupid people.
Like, even at the end, Jesus yeah. is like, you guys have been with me for, I don't know, 10 years now?
Three. It's been 3 years.
Feels like 10.
I just like the idea of that conversation where he's like, you guys have been here with me for about 10 years now. And Peter's like, it's been three. Feels like 10.
Feels like 10.
Feels like 10, Peter.
And I've said a lot of things to you, and yet I still feel like you're just not getting it. Yeah. So here, now I've opened your minds up to scripture or something. I don't know. You're all stupid.
Good luck. Like, I'm just, out.
Just go.
I've had a bad few days.
Yeah. Like, praise me. Wait for some clothing that is rules also. I don't know what that means.
And, you know, end is nigh.
I'm going to go.
So that's that. That's right. And that's the book of Luke.
Luke. Yeah. Yes. What do they say at the end of movies when you know there's going to be a sequel? You will see Luke again. And yeah. Acts.
The disciples will be back in Acts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So John 20 and 21. John's gospel is like the last movie in the Lord of the
Lots
Rings.
Lots of endings.
Where it's got like 18 different endings. Yes. There's a wizard and some hobbits, you know.
Sure.
Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene alone goes to the tomb and the stone is removed. I don't know what she was going to do there if it wasn't. It says, so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. So, oh, you know, that's John. In theory, that would be John.
Yeah.
And said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Not that it's important right now, but I totally beat Peter in a foot race.
Mary showed up and we started running, but listen, I'm way faster than Peter. Yeah. This is why God loves me most.
Right. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, the Shroud of Turin. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first.
Oh, John.
I forgot about it.
He really just wants to nail home that he's the best of the best.
Yeah, yeah. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead, even though he fucking said it multiple times.
Like a bunch. Yeah. Yeah.
Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
How much shorter do you think the Bible would be if the disciples weren't stupid?
I know. Jesus didn't have to keep repeating the same right. shit to them over and over again. Yeah. Then Mary is crying outside the tomb. She looks up and sees two angels in white in the tomb, sitting where the body had been. They ask why she's crying, and she says it's because they took away her Lord. Jesus appears to her, but of course she can't recognize him, and she thinks he's the gardener. Jesus.
Oh, God.
Might have to cut that.
You might have to cut that. Yeah. That was terrible.
Yeah. I literally just thought of that.
I could tell. Yeah. I mean, listen, I also thought it, but I didn't verbalize it.
Right.
You have to know when to shut up, Josh. Yeah.
Oh, never. He asks why she's crying. So like the angels asked why she was crying. And now this gardener, I don't know if the angels are still there or like, and this gardener is right. like just angels, You know, I see him all the time working the tombs. But he asks why she's crying, and she asks him if he's taken the body away. If so, she would go get it. Jesus says, Mary, and suddenly she recognizes him.
Okay.
Jesus
had a whole Clark Kent moment, right? Like, right. He took off the glasses and was like, Mary.
Yeah.
It's me.
Superman. Yeah. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Which I don't know if like the other disciples are gone now.
Right.
Like that were there, you know, they went off for another foot race. And then Mary goes and tells the disciples. And then it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, so Sunday night, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said,
death breath.
Yeah. And said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So this seems like it's setting up the priesthood, which is interesting, right?
Well, yes. And but it also is a sentence that literally anybody who believes in Christianity can take and be like, well, the Bible says that I'm allowed to forgive
sins
or not forgive.
Yeah. Which really like is not what I was taught growing up. What I was taught growing up is that literally the only person who can forgive sins is Jesus.
Right.
You know, like you can help facilitate people to ask for forgiveness, but at the end of the day, Jesus is the one that forgives. This, though, is totally like I was saying, setting up a priesthood where like the people who were there in that room were the ones who are allowed to forgive sins.
Right.
And they could endow that to other people as well. Anyway, Thomas, the disciple, wasn't with them that night. Later, when they told him about it, he said this, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.
He's the skeptic, yeah?
He's a real doubting Thomas.
Is that where that phrase comes from?
This is where that phrase comes from.
Oh, yep. I can never use it again. Not that it's in my vocabulary often.
No. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Just keeps throwing that out there, even though he had never said this before. Then he says to Thomas, put your finger here, see my see my hands.
Put your finger here.
Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. This is like if I was directing a movie about this, I totally would do one of those things where it's like somebody's hearing this from the outside. Yeah. What?
Also, like, this is a week later?
Yeah, this is a week after he appeared to everybody else.
He's still rocking, even though he's, like, I don't know, special. Still rocking open hand wounds and one can only assume an open side wound.
Right. And like, open foot wounds, although they don't call that out.
But. So he must be holy because in any other circumstances, you would have died from some sort of infection at this point.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely holy. Ah! So Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Mm. Yes, blessed are those who don't need evidence to change their beliefs.
Ah, that's a real telling sort of scenario there, isn't it?
Yeah. Then we get a couple lines that are just titled The Purpose of John's Gospel, even though the gospel isn't actually done yet. So it just says this, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. But of course, you know, why not just include the others too? It seems like that might be important to us, like what else he might have said and done. The fact this is right at the end of the chapter, though, makes me kind of wonder if chapter 21 was maybe added later. You know, it just seems like that was a wrap up. But anyway, then we get Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of thunder, and two other disciples, one we find out later was John, are by the Sea of Galilee. Okay. So this is sometime later.
Okay.
We don't know how long. They go out in a boat to go fishing, but they catch nothing all night. Early in the morning, Jesus stood there on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed him in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore. So he just jumped out and started swimming.
"I'm coming."
Yeah. They were about 100 yards from shore. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of fish, 153 to be specific.
Doesn't seem like that many.
No, no.
Are they like they're salmon or like, you know, some of those really big fish?
I have no idea. Yeah, I don't know what it would have been.
153 fish doesn't feel like a lot of
fish. No, their net technology probably wasn't that.
That's true.
On point back then. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Like quite some time later, though.
Yeah, we don't know when. They had gone to Galilee at this point.
But doesn't the story show up in a different book?
Yes, it would not in a different book. It's still in the book of John, I believe. I forgot to look this up to double check it. But if I remember correctly, in the book of John, when he goes and gets the first disciples, when he gets Simon Peter and all
right.
that, they were fishing and they weren't able to get any fish. And he told them to like...
put your net on the other side.
I can't remember if it was the other side, but it was something like that.
Like close your eyes and turn around three times and then put your net in the water.
Or just go out again and give it one more try type of thing. And then they got a ton of fish. Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is also in the book of John.
Okay.
And it's just a retelling of it from a different
John
version.
John is a real fish fetish.
Yeah. There's a lot more fish in John, I think.
Yeah. What's going on with that?
I don't know. My mom's calling. Shoot her a text real quick and just be like, "Hey, I'll give you a call back in just a minute." Apparently, my dad apparently was trying to get a hold of me. I asked, was like an emergency? And she said, "Not at all. He lives in Florida now and almost died a couple months ago at a quadruple bypass." To which I said, "Oh, well, I'll see him at the resurrection."
It's amazing how a near-death experience makes you all of a sudden feel, I don't know, beholden to your responsibilities.
Last time I heard from him was because he was going in for heart surgery.
Yeah.
All right. They were eating fish and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" I don't know what he was referencing. "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love?" "Yes, I fucking love you, all right. You have any other pets you need me to take care of? You have a snapping turtle that needs some fucking water? Simon said. No, not really. But Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him for a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. So apparently they're walking.
And John was trailing.
Yeah, for once. Because normally he's much faster than Peter. and it specifically says, this was the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? For some reason, in case we don't know who the one that Jesus loved is. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? So what about John? What's going to happen to him? For the record, so Peter died by being crucified upside down. That's how Peter dies, right?
What would cause an upside down crucifixion?
Somebody to choose to do it, to be that horrific about it. I think, I don't know. I've never really looked into the story behind his crucifixion, but I just remember that that's the tradition, is that he was crucified upside down.
Isn't that like an antichrist sort of thing? Like the upside down crucifix?
Right. It's a really weird thing.
Also, like, why rename somebody and then consistently call them by their original name?
Yeah. Anyway, so Peter looks back and at John and says, Lord, what about him? So what is his death going to be like, basically, right? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?
Oh my God.
You must follow me. And then it says, this is really fucking weird. It says, because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things, who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. So it's kind of interesting because he's kind of saying, like, this is me saying this. Although, again, I kind of feel like this last chapter was written later. It just feels different. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
He's kind of saying the same thing again that he said in the last end of the last chapter. Like, there was other things, but I just don't have the time to do it. Also, there's a lot of them. There's so many of them that it would take the whole world's worth of paper, papyri, for me to write them down.
Right.
And like, I just.
Hundreds of pounds of paper.
Nobody has.
In the whole world.
Peter feels like Jan from the Brady Bunch. And John feels like Marsha.
I thought you were going to say from RuPaul's Drag Race, no. Which we're watching that season right now.
No, from the Brady Bunch, right? Okay. John has made himself into a real Marsha. And Peter feels like Jan, where literally he tries the most, the hardest. He jumped in the fucking water to swim to shore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, he was there at, like, the trials, right?
Right.
Like, he's literally done the most.
Yeah.
And yet, he has to die in a similar fashion to Jesus. He has to follow him. And John is the one that Jesus loves most.
Right.
For some fucking reason. He hasn't given a reason as to why John is the one that he loves most, other than
it's because he's faster.
I thought maybe he was prettier.
Right. Well, if you look at the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci.
So Peter has to get crucified and ends up getting crucified upside down, which is a real fucked up sort of scenario, although you would die faster that way.
Probably, yeah.
And then Jesus is straight up like, hey man, maybe John will live forever. It's none of your fucking business.
Right. Well, until Jesus comes back, and that's only going to be like in a few years, I'm sure.
From when they wrote the book?
Yeah.
No,
from when it happened, you know.
Right.
I'm sure it'll just be a few years.
Right. Like, he takes a long time to go in this version.
Yeah, he does. He does. We have no idea how long this lasted.
He's hanging around. pretty hardcore.
And this is the end of John.
That's like, the end. There's no ascension.
No. One thing I do want to call out, though, about this is he has Peter say he loves him three times here, right?
Oh, because he denied him three times.
So it's a callback to
that. Yeah. It's Jesus being real like, yeah, I heard you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You denied me three times. Now you have to say that you love me three times.
Right. And also you have to take care of my pets.
Yeah. Well, obviously he meant like, I mean, his followers are referred right. to as
his pets.
Much like Mariah Carey calls his followers lambs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Not butterflies. RuPaul is a great show. So yeah, here's the discrepancies. I kind of enumerated just a few of them. In Mark, there's no guards. There's one creepy boy angel who tells them.
But we don't know if that's even an angel. It's just a creepy boy.
Yeah. I think they said he matches the description of the other angels.
Oh, okay.
Like wearing white and stuff like that. One creepy boy angel who tells them to tell the disciples to go to Galilee. Women are the only ones that know about it, and they tell no one, right? So that's Mark. Matthew, there are guards. There's an earthquake. There's one angel who tells them to tell the disciples to go to Galilee to find Jesus. Jesus appears to the women while they are on the way back also. And the disciples go to Galilee where they see Jesus for the last time. And then Luke, there's no guards. There's two angels who never tell them to go to Galilee. They never mention it because, like I said, this sets up Acts, which does not take place in Galilee. Jesus appears to the two disciples on the road outside of Jerusalem.
They weren't disciples, though, were they?
They were. They were two disciples.
Not of the core disciples, though.
Because one of them was Cleopas. So, yeah, it does. I don't know if it's like of the 11, but.
Well, you said they went to the 11.
They did. Yes. They probably were
like satellite disciples.
Yeah. Something okay. Like that. Not they weren't apostles.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's a fucking difference between the two. He's been calling them disciples the whole time.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're apostles.
Well, not all of a sudden. They did become apostles. There was a part that we covered where he made them apostles. But yeah, it doesn't matter. It's a matter of who has authority in the early church, yeah, right?
It makes my head hurt.
I know. Then he appears to all of them in Jerusalem and tells them to stay in Jerusalem, right? So that's Luke. And then John just does totally his own fucking thing.
Very much like not even in like the thread of the rest.
Right.
Literally, like there's a whole extra chapter.
Yeah.
It's like a post-credit scene in John's story, and it has to do with fish again. I think John is Aquaman. Or Namor.
Yeah.
Take your pick.
More like Namor.
Probably Namor.
Yeah.
What an amazing backstory for that character. Okay. Now I feel like I need to write a comic book.
Where Namor is actually John.
Yes.
The Apostle John.
Yes. I mean, they did it with Judas and Dracula. Why can't I make Namor John?
Sure. Sure. If you think people will want to read that, you go for it. All right. So I've got this thing I made.
Ooh, what is that?
This is my latest invention.
Latest invention?
Yes. Of all the inventions I've ever made, this is my latest. I call it the Lazarus phone. It lets us talk to anyone from history.
What about Chris Hemsworth?
What about him?
I mean, tell me more. This is very interesting.
Right now, this is set to talk to a random disciple of Jesus's around the time of his death. So we can get their perspective of what happened. But I haven't tested the phone yet. The gamma radiation might be a little...
Yoink!
That's my phone! Did you just say yoink? Repent! Repent. The end is nigh. God is a thief and he's going to break into your house at night. So be ready for him. Christ is returning any day now. So you better start loving each other, you filthy fucking cretins.
I'll be loving your dad tonight.
Hello? Are you there?
Oh, God, no, I'm not worthy. Are you an angel?
No, no, don't be afraid.
Oh, fuck, that's exactly what an angel would say.
I'm from the future.
The future?
That's right.
And the world has ended?
What? No.
Oh. Well, the Lord has returned, at least. Is there a paradise on Earth?
No, it's 2022. The world never ended.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, it's been 2,000 years. People keep saying Jesus is going to come back, but he never did.
Wait, you said it's been 2,000 years and people are still saying the world is going to end any day now?
Yep.
Why?
You tell me what made you believe in the first place.
Well, because Jesus turned water into wine and he walked on water and came back from the dead.
And you saw him do all that?
Yeah, of course. Well, not me personally. My buddy Peter and his friends. They saw it. He's the leader of the church now, so he wouldn't lie about.
Yep.
Fuck, I got conned, didn't I?
Yeah, bud.
God damn it, this is just like those fucking vitamins. What the fuck am I doing? I left my wife and kids to follow Jesus. I donated everything I have to the poor.
Well, at least it went to the poor.
I donated it to Jesus. He was the poor. People aren't still donating to Christians, are they?
Billions of dollars every year in the U.S. alone.
What? They were totally lying about this shit. Nothing they said would happen actually happened. At what point do you just call it and recognize that it was all bullshit? They're at least getting taxed, right?
Nope. For some reason, churches aren't taxed.
Fuck, for fuck's sake. At least tell me no one elects people who say they believe this stuff.
I think we all get the point.
Are you sure Jesus didn't come back a little bit?
Are you gonna be all right?
Or maybe, like, only half the world ended?
I'm starting to think this experiment wasn't very useful.
I'll never forget that look in Mary, my daughter's eyes, when I left. Why are you leaving us, Papa? She asked me. Because Jesus said I need to love him more than you, I told her as I walked out. Are you saying I was wrong to do that?
You definitely were. How the fuck do I hang up?
I guess we'll see if my wife Mary will take me back. Of course, her best friend, Mary, has been living in the house for a few months, so I've probably been replaced.
Oh, I think this is it.
I need to get a job. I don't have any skills. I'm not even good at cult recruitment. I just put your
dad. Okay, good luck with that. Be better to your family.
Why did Jesus ever tell me that?
Well, that was...
weird.
Sad.
That was sad. Yeah.
A little sad. Poor guy. Also, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Where was Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah.
That's why I asked.
Told you it wasn't set to dial Chris Hemsworth. It's people from history. He's not from history yet.
He is from history.
Is he?
Current history.
Oh.
Modern history. Can someone just please send me the telephone number for Chris Hemsworth?
Long story short, I just want to talk to Chris Hemsworth. Fine, I'll work on inventing the Chris Hemsworth phone.
Thank you, I love you.
You're welcome. I'm kind of doubting it from all this.
Don't act like you aren't also interested.
I mean, hey. If there was ever a dude... is Love and Thunder. Next time on BSFA, something else.
All right.
Like, I'm actually thinking we'll probably just roll right into Acts.
Okay.
And we'll just kind of wrap up what happened to the disciples after all this. It'll be cool, though, because we won't have to...
jump back and forth between four separate accounts of one thing.
Exactly. It's we might bust Luke. Through it much faster. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They all lived miserably ever after. Thank you so much for checking out our podcast. Help us share the good news by sending this to a friend or leaving a review to help others find us. Follow the show on Twitter at Bible Atheists, and we'll talk to you next time. That's my phone. Did you just say yoink?
Chris Hemsworth. So you wanted me to say it, right?
Yeah, that works. Yeah. Let me just make sure we didn't clip too much.